So we have been talking about building something. We're building a foundation, and just to be clear, the thing that we're building is not a building. We're building disciples, and we're laying a foundation of what it means to be a follower of Christ that is able to produce fruit, the fruit that God wants us to produce. And so last week, we introduced this concept of the dual nature of abiding, and our graphic on the screen just reminds us of that, that it includes an element of devotion, the spiritual discipline of devotion. It all starts there. An intentional focus on Christ with a desire to increase and grow and nourish our love for Christ. And if you could imagine just being with someone that you love, and imagine that person being Christ, and that when you're with someone you love, and the rest of the world just doesn't seem to matter quite as much. You're spending quality time, and the world kind of fades, and everything that was important to you is less important because of this abiding love relationship. And so this is what we're pursuing in our relationship with Christ, where it's not just about an agenda, things we have to get done, or how do we obey him, or how do we serve him. Just appreciating the presence of Christ is important, and it's enough. And then the surrender side of things, the discipline of surrender, we said is giving up on all the things that seem so urgent to us and our desire to get them done, not just that they're important, but giving up what we think is our ability to get them done, to stop striving for accomplishments. And we talked about learning to be a branch. A branch does not produce fruit. A branch surrenders to whatever the vine is doing, and the vine produces the fruit. And so we pour ourselves into this love relationship with Christ, and that love, if you could imagine that being the sap flowing through the vine to produce fruit. And one of the fruits is love. So it actually makes sense. And that when we learn these rhythms of devotion and surrender and how they flow from one to another, we will find ourselves abiding in Christ, just like Jesus says in John 15. We're abiding in his love, and when we do that, all of a sudden we start producing fruit. And apart from this abiding relationship with Christ, he says we can do nothing. But when we're abiding, you actually can't help but produce fruit. And this is, if I could call it, the ecology of abiding. This is the way the plant is designed to produce fruit, by the branch focusing on the vine. But we also said last week as we wrapped up that there are different kinds of fruit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have the fruit of evangelism. We have the fruit of the manifestation of all kinds of spiritual gifts. And there's other kinds of fruit as well. And the thing that holds all of these fruit in common, the thing that holds them all in common, is that these are things that flow through us. They do not come from us. And that distinction is really important. They flow through us, not from us. A branch cannot produce anything apart from the vine. And if you've ever pruned anything, you know as soon as you separate it from the vine, it is done. It's gone. So, all fruit has this same thing in common. They all flow out of the rhythms of devotion and surrender. But here's what's different. The nature of the fruit will dictate the nature of the surrender. Okay, the nature of the fruit that we're producing, that Christ is producing through us, will dictate the nature of the surrender. So while our devotion to Christ remains the same in every setting, in the production of all fruit, the nature of the fruit will actually change, or the nature of our surrender will change. So we're going to begin this morning with the fruit of the Spirit. I actually believe this is a strategic starting place for two reasons. One is that this is likely going to be the first fruit that a new disciple of Christ will produce. This is where the fruit begins. But it's also strategic because it's a basic fruit that creates the right ecology, the right conditions for the other fruit. And so we're going to turn, and you already have, I think, this morning in your Bibles, to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to talk about this passage. He gives us this list of what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit, but he also has some things to say before he comes to that list. And so that's where we want to start this morning. We're in verse 16 and 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So he's talking about the things you want to do here. And he says that the things that the flesh part of you wants to do, these are opposed to the Spirit. And then you have the things that the Spirit part of you wants to do, and they are opposed to the flesh. So he's describing this situation where two forces are at work within us. They have different objectives, and they're actually trying to produce conflicting fruit from the same branch. Verse 19 to 21, he gives us what I would call a partial list of all the things that the flesh wants to do. And it's quite a list. We read it already. And he says that these things are actually fairly obvious when you see them. Again, from verse 19. The works of the flesh are evident. It's not hard to see them. They're not hidden. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. And then he puts this phrase in, and things like these. So this isn't a complete list. And if you look at the list for a moment, you'll see at least three broad categories of these fruits of the flesh. First, you have the sexual sins that literally involve the appetites of the flesh. These are sins with your body, against your body. But notice, secondly, that there are also sins that are directly against God. Idolatry, sorcery. These are direct offenses against God and His holiness and His place in our lives. And then third, you have sins that cause obvious division among people and in the church. Things like fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, envy. And again, in Paul's words, these things are obvious when they're present. They're not that difficult to see. And he also says there are more things like these. These are just examples. There are plenty of other sins that fit into these categories. But his point is this. In the battle between the Spirit and the flesh, there's all kinds of things the flesh is trying to produce. They're pretty obvious. They're pretty evident. And he says that all of these things oppose the Spirit. And what he's saying here is that by opposing the Spirit, they're actually blocking the Holy Spirit from producing His fruit, because they're competing for the branch. So if we want to expect the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we have to first deal with the flesh. As long as the flesh and the Spirit are in opposition to one another in our lives, you cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit, because the flesh is opposing that work. And so Paul lays it out really clearly for us in the last verse, down in verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. Notice, have crucified, past tense. Paul is talking about that experience that we have when we first come to know Christ. Call it our conversion experience. When we actually look at our lives, we recognize the fruit of the flesh in us, and we confess that fruit of the flesh to Christ. And he says things like these on this list are the things that we confess to Christ. And what this means is we're actually coming clean. We're being honest. We're laying our lives before Christ, admitting that we have done these things, and that is called confession. But after confession comes repentance, which is a completely different thing. Repentance is turning away from all of these behaviors of the flesh and turning towards something better. And turning towards that better thing is turning to Christ, obviously, and to the Holy Spirit. And so imagine it this way, that at our moment of conversion, we're examining our sinful lives, we're turning to Christ, and we say, I confess this to you. I want to be honest, I want to be open, I give this to you. I have done these things. That's confession. And then we say, I don't want to do these things anymore. I actually want this flesh part of me to die. And what I want to do is produce something that's honoring to you. I want to crucify the flesh, in the words of Paul. And the words of John, he calls it being born again. It's a new life. And so verse 24 says that those who belong to Christ Jesus have done this. They have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, confession and repentance. So this is where it might get a little bit confusing. So you have to pick up the nuances here. If you have done this, if you have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, then why do you still get inundated with temptations of these fleshly desires? It's been crucified, right? So why isn't it dead? And the answer is, it actually is dead. But Satan is not dead. And that battle continues because Satan is trying to take back ground that he lost when you became a follower of Christ. He's trying to give life to something that you've crucified. It's his own version of the resurrection, tempting you with things that used to control you. And so you see, before your confession and repentance, this flesh owned you. It had control of you. And you by yourself were simply doing the kinds of things that the flesh will do when there's nothing opposing it. There was no opposition before you came to Christ. The flesh owned you. There was no spirit to oppose the flesh. But now you have turned to Christ. You have crucified the flesh. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And so Paul describes this battle that's happening in you because you crucified the flesh. Back to verse 17. The desires of the flesh are against the spirit because now the spirit's present. The desires of the spirit are against the flesh because now the spirit's present. And they're opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. And so the temptations of the flesh are not going to go away. They're like weeds. You kill one, you crucify one, and more pop up. It is a never-ending battle, and that battle will not end until Christ comes and establishes his final authority over Satan. So yes, your flesh is crucified, yes. But Satan's trying to raise it from the dead. And every time he tempts you, that's exactly what he's trying to do. But Paul says, you're not alone now. The Spirit of God is now within you, and you're not fighting this battle on your own. In fact, the Holy Spirit is in you, and Paul says that he opposes the flesh. So what is your part in this battle? Again, it comes back to this graphic of abiding in Christ. That's our part in the battle. Focus your devotion on Christ, and as we nourish our love for Christ, our love for the flesh actually begins to fade. And surrender the fruit of the flesh. And then the Holy Spirit will oppose the fruits of the flesh that you've surrendered, and he will produce something new in you. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. And I think, what a difference it makes when the Holy Spirit is producing his fruit. Now, we said earlier that all fruit, no matter what fruit it is, requires devotion and surrender. Okay? That's our foundational thought. Then we also said the nature of surrender is different for each fruit. So for this particular fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, surrender involves the surrender of the flesh in particular. In other words, I surrender my impatience, the fruit of the flesh, so that Christ can produce the fruit of patience. I surrender the fruit of the flesh, my selfishness, so that Christ would produce the love that comes from devoting myself primarily to him. Look at the last one, self-control. Lack of self-control is at the root of so many of these sins of the flesh, isn't it? Lack of self-control is what allows lust to take root. It allows envy to take root. It allows fits of anger to take root. And so I turn in devotion to Christ and surrender all of these expressions of the flesh so that the Holy Spirit could actually produce a fruit in me that up till now has been completely beyond my grasp, because I cannot do this alone. And he produces self-control. Friends, two things have to happen in our lives before we can see the fruit of the Spirit. Two things have to happen. First one's pretty obvious. You cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit if the Spirit does not live in you. You cannot produce a fruit of something that's not in you. And without the Holy Spirit in you, you have no hope of conquering the flesh and its desires. So how does the Holy Spirit enter you? Well, we just talked about that a moment ago. Confession and repentance. Coming clean about our participation in the sins of the flesh and turning away, choosing Christ. Most of us have done that. But understand this, that even when the Holy Spirit lives in you, it does not mean you will produce the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul's pretty clear on this, that both are present in our lives. He's also pretty clear that both are opposing each other. So the Holy Spirit is now present, but now you have to choose him every day. And again, we call that abiding in Christ. Devotion to Christ, nourishing the love that we have for Christ, and surrendering the desires of the flesh when they pop up, and they will, until Christ finally conquers Satan. The desires of the flesh will continue to tempt you. But we bring it to Jesus. We surrender it. And we talk to Jesus about what we really want. And that is to be in right relationship with him, to love him. I think you'll learn along the way that the more you are devoted in love to Christ, okay, the more we do the first devotion, the easier it becomes to surrender. And if you're struggling with surrender in any area of your life, the key is not to surrender harder. Trying to surrender harder is the work of the flesh. It comes from you. Trying harder is actually the opposite of surrender. And so the key is actually to devote deeper, to invest more deeply in your love for Christ, and let that love for Christ produce the good fruit in you. Pray with me. Father, we struggle with this kind of teaching. I know for myself, my whole life I was taught try harder, do better, serve more. It's all about what we do for you. And when we see the scripture, this makes sense. But there's another part of us that just admits that we have questions. Does this really make sense? We have been so conditioned to try harder. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us to discern how to let that go, how to surrender our best efforts as if that was going to produce anything. That we would learn to devote ourselves first and wholly to you and not to worry about the fruit. And that in the ecology of the vine, it is when we give up that you are able to produce your fruit in us. And so I pray that you would gently remind us of this day by day this week, that you would teach us the nuances of recognizing the temptations, and rather than trying so hard to resist, just bringing them to you, that you might oppose them by your Holy Spirit in us. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.